Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. It's the Sunday AM version, and I know many of you that listened to us were expecting to hear that it was Cybersecurity Sunday, but we had a little change in plans. Mr. AI Wynn was called into service late last night, and so it's going to be me today, alone, talking about real estate. And we're going to talk about a subject that is really important that you understand, which is multifamily cap rates. That's in part, and I do underscore in part, what allows us to value real estate, multifamily real estate, in this case, transactions. If you don't understand the nuances there, we'll talk about them more here today. Before we get started, I want to remind you that just because you hear us discussing certain concepts, tax strategies, maybe investment opportunities, etc., that you should not run out and try them on your own. You should engage with your existing advisors to make sure that you understood the content correctly, and more importantly, to make sure that it fits your unique facts and circumstances. For those of you that don't have advisors, you can go to our website at beaplannershow.com and fill out, or go to the forms link. You'll see towards the top, or I guess about midway down the first screen on the right, and you'll also see a call link right next to it. And if you will fill out at least the first form, the client profile, and after you submit that, then go schedule a call with the call link. I'll be happy to spend some time taking a look at your situation, your objectives, etc., and see if there's a way we can sync up with what you're trying to accomplish and help you get there by understanding the math. It's critical that you understand the math before you run off and put your money into certain transactions. With that said, let's take a look at, there's a site, the Apartment Loan Store, and I know you're probably not needing an apartment loan at the moment, or maybe you are, maybe you're already past this point, but in any event, this site is a good source of current data with respect to loan rates, cap rates, etc. And I usually don't refer to it directly because I'm just picking pieces of data. But this October 20th, which is today, article, or rates, I guess it's a rate indicator. So as of today, the information on this site, at least, appears to be correct. I'm not exactly sure how they, how real time they're tracking it, but that's the date on the site. And the current cap rates, the current cap rates, depending on the class, you know, this site breaks down the various apartment classes, whether they're metro, whether they're suburban, and whether it's a value add versus, I suppose, the rest of these numbers are for a yield play, it would seem. But in any event, it's interesting for those that may be new to this game, the apartment game, multifamily. The cap rates range from the very low fives, 5.08, up to 6.75 for a value-added acquisition. And that's the beat up old Class C's that we buy, that we upgrade, we amenitize, put some, you know, newer amenities in place, raise the rents, all on a pathway seeking refinance or a sale, although in most cases the initial attempt is to refinance and pull out a big chunk of the investor's money. So that's, you know, about one and three quarters of a percent spread. That's a big difference. And, you know, when you think about how we value apartments, which is the cap rate, you know, divided into a sales price. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the cap rate divided into NOI. I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. So net operating income is generally the income that the property is producing. I'm not going to go into the technical definition, but it's if you were used to looking at a normal company's financials, it would be gross margin, or I guess you could argue it's the net margin before interest expense and assorted other expenses that are not directly related to producing a profit, but it is part of your overall net income. It's more like the direct revenues and direct cost for those of you that are used to looking at financial statements of normal non-real estate investment companies. But in any event, it's quite a spread between the two. And I guess the way I explain this generally is the more pristine the earnings flow, it's not necessarily the property, although it, in many cases it tracks the quality of the property, just like I mentioned, the luxury metro Class A is got the lowest cap rate, which means it's got the most value in each dollar of net operating income that is being produced. And it think of it as like a T-bill. A T-bill has a very low cap rate. It's got a more assured outcome than other forms of investment that may be offering a higher return or based on a higher cap rate. And another way to think of it is an investor is going to require, or a lender, as the case may be, if you're refinancing, an investor that's looking to buy a property is going to require a higher return if it's a Class C as opposed to a Class A. That's why the suburban Class C property The suburban Class C will have a higher cap rate than, say, a luxury metro Class C. Although in this case, as of today, they're tied. They're 5.7. But the Class A is a lower cap rate, and of course, cap rates move directly or indirectly in accordance with the value of the property. If the cap rate's going down, the property value's going up. And conversely, if the cap rate's moving higher, that means the value is moving lower. So the value of the net operating income, you know, for each dollar, an investor's demanding more of a return if it's less assured. So you look at the rates of return that a treasury bill will provide and the cost related thereto, and it will be a higher cost to generate each dollar than if you're selling than, say, I've got to stop reading here while I'm talking. The T-bill will cost you more, because it's more assured versus, say, a stock or a mutual fund will essentially, an investor will want more to buy that asset than they would a treasury bill due to the assured nature of that income stream. I know it is confusing, and it's even more confusing when you're trying to read ahead in this particular article. Let's do this. Let's take our first break. Take it a little bit early here, and I will circle back momentarily, and we'll get into a more detailed discussion of cap rates. We'll return momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and big dreams. And there are many just like me.
With big dreams and big dreams.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We started a discussion of the multifamily apartment cap rates currently, and we're going to talk about how they've moved in the recent past. And I want to clean up part of my bumbling discussion earlier. I was trying to read while I was talking. I want to make sure you understand that the relationship to the property value and cap rates is an inverse relationship, such that if cap rates are moving up, the apartment value or the asset value, doesn't matter if it's an apartment or if it's a single family, etc., if you're analyzing single family using cap rates and NOI, which we typically don't do, but in any event, the asset class is not near the issue. But in any event, so if the cap rate has gone higher as it has in the recent past, that tends to create a lower value for the asset. Conversely, if the cap rates are moving down, the resulting value is going higher. So it's important to keep that in mind as we talk about the cap rates as of today, October 20th, 2024. And the thing that we look at and we can see on transactions that are coming into the pipeline that might be available for investment is, you know, there's several ways of calculating the cap rate. The lenders and the buyers should be in similar agreement, but I would suggest the lender is probably the more righteous, if you will, of, you know, a competing cap rate. And right now, the value-added acquisitions, and this would typically be a Class C type property, are being purchased or refinanced, as the case may be, at a 6.75% cap rate. And that compared to the recent past, that generates some relatively opportunistic sales prices or acquisition prices. Let's talk about the CBRE group generated, let's see, this is an August 2024 multifamily cap rate report that has some good information in it, good data if you're an investor or want to be a real estate investor and are trying to understand what's going on in the market. Obviously, we've had a half a percent interest rate cut since then, so or Fed funds rate, which translates to lower interest rates a bit. According to CBRE, multifamily cap rates on A-class properties expanded slowly, increased, in other words, from 4.63% in 2023 to 5.07% during the first quarter 2024. And again, increase means the value of the property is going down. And then, so it expanded from 4.63% in 2023 to 5.07 or 0.7 during the first quarter 24, and then remained flat in the second quarter of 2024 due to the large number of new A-class properties entering the market. Class C apartment buildings have had some cap rate expansion from 5.64 during the first quarter of 2024 to 5.76 during the second, with rental increases this year averaging only 2.2% and vacancy rates and concessions trending upward, plus, and here's a big variable, a remaining 440,000 new apartment units coming online this year, it is unlikely that cap rates will expand further in 2024, as indicated by Freddie Mac, one of the agency lending operations. A remaining 460,000 new units are expected to be completed in 2025, along with a further lowering of interest rates, which is expected to keep cap rates from compressing much during the first two quarters. Yeah, I'll say that'll do it, by the way. That's a lot of absorption that needs to take place, and you're going to be doing it in the face of significant competition, which, you know, the concessions will go up a bit. And by the way, you may ask, well, how do you know, you know, when you're investing your money, what all of these competing variables look like? Who, you know, where do you get this data? And there are a number of data sources. We subscribe to one that we focus on about, I don't know, I think it's got 18 or 20 markets across the U.S., primarily the Southeast over to Southwest, And, you know, we look at a number of variables provided by that data source, the rental, average rental growth rate, the average rent per unit, absorption, concession rates, you know, the number of new units that have been permitted, the number of new units coming into the pipeline. These are the things you must have to determine whether or not the pro forma data that you're being given in that private placement memorandum. And again, I may be jumping ahead a bit for those that are new to the multifamily, the passive multifamily investment game. But essentially, you're at least trying to set the stage to where you're investing in transactions that have rational pro forma information. And if you're investing in a property in, say, a Phoenix market or submarket of Phoenix, you want to at least start off with projections that mirror something in line with the current lay of the land. And if you've got a syndicator that's stepping outside those averages, you really got to make sure you understand, well, why is it that they can get a faster rental growth rate or a higher average rent or any one of a number? Why are they only having to provide a low rate of concessions? What's unique in their offering that's allowing them to be able to do that? And it's not necessarily that they're giving you bad data, but it's data that needs to be confirmed, and you need to understand, well, this is how they got to those numbers. Because when you track that calculation through all the way to the end, you know, a little piece here, a little piece there that's off the mark can be huge in terms of whether you get your money back, not to mention how much gain you might make. And so if you're new to that game and you don't understand how these variables work in concert, that's when you would want to consider having somebody like us, you know, a real estate centric CPA practice where we're tracking not only the tangible math metrics, but we're also looking at some intangibles. And because we've been doing this for 20 plus years, and then we're also layering on the tax effects as it relates to your unique facts and circumstances. You could have a scenario where you might benefit from the tax benefits right away versus others who might not benefit. And there's a number of ways that that could happen. And I'm not going to go into it on this show. We will have a show here in the near term that would help explain the taxes. And then we're also planning to have some in-person training on analyzing K-1s. How do you take a K-1, or you receive a K-1 from each transactions every year? How do you look at those K-1s and determine how that's going to affect you in any given year? And when you think, well, you know, we're just going to take those amounts, and they got line numbers for each number on the K-1, and we're going to place that into our TurboTax on the equivalent line. I'm talking about a little bit higher level of understanding than simply answering the yes, no questions that TurboTax will provide you. That's great information, but the problem is this area is one that's fraught with limitations and other impediments that the K-1, you know, it may not meet what you think you're looking at. It may not meet what the eyes are seeing when it comes to putting those numbers into your scenario. And you have to understand, I guess the start point, what I would suggest to you is that you have to understand that if you're in a partnership with 100 other investors, that literally the way the passive activity loss rules work, each one of the 100 investors could have a net effect, a net different tax effect than the other 100 investors that you're dealing with, let's say there's 101, obviously, with my math, you could have a entirely unique number in terms of the net benefit that flows through to your bottom line on your Form 1040. And when you understand that, then you're just beginning to understand the unique complexities involved with that area of tax reporting. And I would tell you that if you're investing in any partnership, not just real estate, but let's say you're a company selling, you know, I don't know, avocados. If you're doing it in the partnership form, it's a lot different the way things are calculated than if it was just you with the sole proprietorship, where it was just you were the only owner, you were the only one reporting the data for tax purposes. So it's sufficiently complicated enough where I would encourage you to have a professional undertake that reporting so that you're able to stay on the track in terms of your annual reporting. But anyway, back to this this article. As I mentioned, with rental increases this year averaging only 2.2%. And by the way, every time I see the word averaging, I try to remember to say none of us are average. We're all normal, or we're all standard. And so average, when you look at an article like this, this is across a national market view. This is not delving into a submarket in Phoenix or Houston or Charlotte or any one of a number of markets that have a significant number of multifamily units. And as an example, right now you can look at Austin's numbers and see a markedly different picture than you might see in San Antonio or Dallas or Houston. And so let's not focus on what average is. Let's just accept that average is a way to cut to the chase across many markets, many units, and it gets us a number. May not be the number that's relevant to the next project you're looking at. That's where we've got to go into the averages down at the submarket level to get a lot closer. And that's not just the market level. As an example, in Houston, it might be looking at the Woodlands or looking at, I don't know, you could pick other markets, West Houston, and you want to get, if that's where the property is that you're looking at joining a multifamily syndication, you want to look down at those levels and see how many new units have been permitted, how many are coming online, what's the average concession that's being offered, to understand whether, again, the pro forma numbers that you're given before you invest will be relevant. And again, for those that have never invested in a multifamily transaction, the private placement memorandum is usually one of the first documents you're provided, and I guess it may well be the introduction to that project. It typically will also involve an investment webinar that has a summary that oftentimes comes out just before or simultaneous to the private placement memorandum, or PPM. However, the PPM is the most relevant document when you're seeking an overview of what is this investment opportunity consist of. And then, of course, you're also going to be provided an operating agreement, which, if you will think of that as more of an operations guide, that's going to be the Bible, if you will, for how that property will be operated. But in any event, 440,000 new apartment units coming online. With that many, it's unlikely that the cap rates will expand further in 2024, or so says Freddie Mac, the loan agency. A remaining 460,000 new units are expected to be completed in 2025, along with a further lowering of interest rates, which is expected to keep cap rates from compressing much during the first two quarters, 2025. Declining net operating incomes. Remember, net operating income and cap rates are the two big components of how we determine value. Declining net operating incomes due to rental growth being lower than inflation and increasing expenses for insurance, taxes, and maintenance are compounding this direction by keeping net operating incomes low further, holding multifamily prices flat. So it gets a little bit dicey in terms of understanding the investment options amongst multiple properties, multiple markets, and multiple submarkets. Here's some good news for investors. Inventories were still very low during the first quarter of 2024, but now are improving as more sellers need to sell, combined with a small decline in interest rates. Most experts agree that supply and demand in the marketplace is the greatest influence on property values, and this is still the case today. Well, it depends on, define marketplace for me, and then I'll tell you whether or not that's a true statement. As more properties are listed for sale, prices should come down a bit. That would typically be the expectation. It has been the slight increase in inventory that is likely responsible for a smaller amount of cap rate expansion on B and C class multifamily properties during the second quarter. I would agree with that, at least in most markets that we've seen, most submarkets. That would be the case. You've got some significant other factors, though. You've got a lot of properties that are seeking to be refinanced because they started life with three-year bridge loan debt, or a bridge loan debt structure that mandated they refinance or sell within a three-year period unless they qualify to take out a one-year extension or 2 1-year extensions if they have the property operating in a fashion that the lender will agree to that. And of course, there's still typically a 1% fee of the loan balance, so it's not a freebie. And it's a very difficult scenario where if you've got to refinance, you've got a gun to your head effectively if you're running that property and there's not a lot of time that you can take to wait and see, you know, if the market improves. Although the economy has been outperforming expectations with inflation dropping below 3%, along with an increase in job growth and wages, I'm sure you see that in the news, interest rates still being on the high side are keeping many properties on the market longer than average. This is likely the number one reason that some are predicting cap rates will remain flat through the third quarter of 2024. Fannie Mae, another loan agency, states that much of the growth in multifamily property values over the past two decades has stemmed from price appreciation rather than net operating income increasing. And price appreciation can come from supply and demand. It can come from a number of things, but it's not coming from the net operating income generated by the property going up. This trend is slowing. In other words, we're not having as much price appreciation with cap rates expanding due to net operating incomes declining in 2023 in the first quarter of 2024. And again, insurance has gone up, taxes have gone up. There's a number of things that have really been a challenge for those operating these types of properties. And as they go on to say in this article, this is the result of increased operating expense, especially insurance, taxes, and the cost of labor for maintenance. And, you know, when you just look at the national news that strikes and supply chain issues, you begin to understand how some of these variables relate to one another and end up down at the bottom line on a multifamily property's net operating income. And this is currently being exacerbated by flat rental growth for a decade through 2021, with the exception of the short COVID recession in 2020. Rental increases have more than offset inflation on operating expenses. Rental increase in 2021 hit a record high of 13.5%, which along with interest rates in the low 3% range, allowed multifamily real estate prices to soar. With the Feds announcing last month a likely rate cut during their September 16-17 meeting, more properties should qualify for financing. Well, relatively more, yes, but it's not like there's going to be a great rush to being able to refinance by most of those that make up that $650 billion pool of debt that needs to be refinanced in the multifamily space. Let's go ahead and take our last break. We'll come back and look at why you should invest with a long-term hold strategy today. We'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones are made of my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. And I hope that will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through your sacrifice. Your sacrifice.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down.
give up, oh no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna warm it up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man, be as good as or better than. Gotta warm it up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this Sunday Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And as I mentioned at the outset, I know some of you listeners tune in on Sunday mornings to hear our Cybersecurity Sunday show. And Mr. AI Nguyen, my permanent guest on Sundays, was called into action late last night, and he could not be with us excuse me this morning. We're hoping he'll be back next week, but he was called into action at a very late night hour, and I'm hoping his situation is going well. But you never know. In any event, why you should invest with a long-term hold strategy today. If you're buying an apartment building or you're investing in one, look for the project that has a long-term hold strategy. Would seem to be the prudent route. With an abundance of new units coming on the market, I mean, this is a big variable in what's going to impact concessions, going to impact rental rates. It's, you know, with expenses on the rise, you've got just a confluence of factors that are going to restrict improvement in net operating incomes. It's unlikely that net incomes will improve much during the remainder of this year, 2024, and going into 2025. You're going to need to, if you're buying, let's say you're doing what we've done, you're buying small apartment units, you're going to have to make a lot of offers, many what we would call lowball offers, before you can land a deal. But that said, don't forget, there's a lot of properties, a lot of projects, a lot of syndicators, if you will, that are sitting on those three-year bridge loan debt structures that they've got to find a way to either refinance or sell. And so there's a lot of distress that if you keep your powder dry and you know how to analyze them, you can buy some what I would call below market scenarios, and that obviously increases the odds of success if you're dealing with a lower cost basis. But in any event, you'll need to make a lot of low offers to land a deal that gives you a decent return on your investment. And more importantly, don't work off of pro forma data, whether it's something that somebody else, a syndicator, has provided you seeking your investment capital, or whether it's yourself trying to pencil out a deal on a small apartment. Don't plan on raising rents much in that pro forma in the near future unless they're way under market, considerably under market. So consider a 6 to 7 year hold period would be what the experts are saying. It also would make sense not to lock a rate lock for more than 3 years with a prepayment penalty of not more than 2 years, since rates will still be historically high through 2024 and maybe beyond. You know, there's a lot of folks that look at the current income, jobs, etc., inflation report, and the talk now is they're not sure that when there will be another rate cut, because the inflation is down in the very low twos, if you can believe the data we're given. I mean, it seems like these days, ad hoc data is what's provided, and then 6 months or a year later, we find out, oh, we really didn't create as many jobs as we thought, or inflation was a little bit higher than we thought. So I guess you got to look at all of this talk about rate cuts and the associated variables with a grain of salt. But, you know, I would suggest that the interest rates may pause for the moment based on some of the things that were in the news this week regarding some of the variables, the assorted variables that are reviewed before the Fed board makes further rate cuts. But in any event, the suggestion here is 6 to 7 year hold, no more than a 3 year rate lock, and a prepayment penalty of not more than 2 years, since the rates will still be historically high. Historically, in this context, means for the last, 10 to 15 years, or maybe 10 to 12 years. But this will give you the opportunity, doing so will give you the opportunity to refinance if and when rates come down significantly in the future. If you back up to May of this year, the discussion we were just reviewing was an August outlook. If you look at May, the good news for investors at that point was that inventories were, we'd come through a period of low inventories where multifamily cap rates had expanded 33 basis points to an average of 5.4. And again, this is an average, and this is across all classes. So it's, you know, if you're investing in Class C or urban, this is not a good number for you. It's likely a full percent higher. But multifamily cap rates expanded more slowly in 2023 from 4.63 to 5.7. Declining net operating income due to increases in operating expenses and flat rent increases, i.e. no growth in the average rental rate, has been responsible for the decline in multifamily property values for both 2023 and 2024. According to CBRE, the main contributing factor has been the oversupply of 440,000 new apartment units in 2024, the largest in decades. And it doesn't appear to be slowing down in terms of the production of new units going into the pipeline. But it has had a slowing down effect on rental growth dramatically. It's compound by over, get this number, 900,000 units that are currently under construction. With vacancy and concessions on the rise in Class A and B properties, multifamily cap rates are expected to continue to expand during the remainder of 2024. By the way, these terms like expand and contract, those are, you know, I'm not sure. I guess it's a pretty word for those that are in the analysis business of multifamily. But, you know, how about increase and decrease? I mean, do those words not find favor amongst the analysis crowd? Expand, when you say multifamily cap rates are expected to continue to expand, I think to the casual observer, you're thinking that's a positive thing. Now, maybe if you're a buyer, it's a positive thing, right? Because that means the price at which you might buy a property is going down. Fannie Mae goes on to state that much of the growth in multifamily property values over the past two decades has stemmed from price appreciation rather than from net operating income increasing. And, you know, this is another way of saying, as an investor, you want your money in hard assets. Why? Because apartments, unlike some other assets, choices or classes benefit from inflation. You know, if you own an apartment building, inflation goes up. Well, everything associated with it goes up. It keeps track with inflation, or we have seen that historically. And so anyway, this is another way of suggesting that that is in fact the case. And of course, we've been saying that for a while. This trend is slowing with cap rates, again, here's our word, expanding due to net operating incomes declining in 2023 in the first quarter of 2024. This has been the result of increased operating expense, especially insurance, taxes, cost of labor. This it was similarly the case on the August report. It's been exacerbated by flat rental growth. For a decade through 2021, with the exception of the short COVID recession in 2020, rental increases have more than offset inflation on operating expenses. Rental increases in 2021, as we mentioned earlier, hit a record high of 13.5%, which along with interest rates in the low 3% range, allowed multifamily real estate prices to soar. Fannie Mae is predicting rents to only increase 1.5% in 2024. Well, again, that's average. Depends on where you are, which submarket you're in. Probably not the case in Austin, and I don't believe it's the case here in San Antonio. A lot of new apartments that have come into both markets, primarily San Antonio. Let's see. Well, I'm going to suggest that that's enough on cap rates for a while. We'll circle back to cap rates down the road as we watch and see what happens, but we're right at the end of the show now, and I want to just mention for those of you that need assistance in analyzing multifamily transactions, which now is a great time to be getting into the multifamily market. Again, there's lots of distressed transactions that are coming to the fore. They won't involve 6 to 7 year holds in most cases because the cost basis presents opportunities to get into them and maybe transact in a, say, a 3 year period. I'm seeing on a lot of these transactions. So if you're interested and need some help, give us a call. We'll be happy to work with you and help you understand the math as to what you're contemplating investing in. Thank you for listening. We'll be back this Thursday at 2 p.m. Right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.